So, you're a Cleveland Browns fan. Just how big of a fan are you? Do you deserve a seat at the dog's table? Well, you're here, aren't you?
The best fans, the most patient fans in the league.
This is the dog's table.
Touchdown, Shabba-Lubba Hub!
If you're obnoxious, opinionated, over the top, and you live for the Browns...
45-40! Run, William, run! 20-15-10-5! Touchdown!
Welcome to your new family. The Dogs Table, an official Dogs by Nature podcast on the SB Nation and Vox Media Podcast Network. Let's do this.
Welcome to the Dogs Table. Now your hosts, Craig Fountain and Ryan Angelo.
Let's go!
Let's go!
Go!
What's up, everybody? It is Craig Fountain and Ryan Angelo with the Dogs Table. We are here on Tuesday, and we're going to be talking some Browns defense today. Big news coming in from the Browns today. We got ourselves a new defensive coordinator. We are the Dogs Table, a Cleveland Browns roundtable discussion show. Join us every Tuesday live at 9 p.m. on Facebook, Twitter, and Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, not Instagram, YouTube. You can talk with us. You can watch us live. We are a Dogs by Nature podcast brought to you by Vox Media and SB Nation. You can find us on the Dogs by Nature podcast network, where we upload the show for your listening enjoyment every week. Ryan, how you doing today, bud?
Oh, I'm good, buddy. Browns made a smart hire for once. Can't complain. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm feeling pretty good. You know, the news came this morning. Cleveland Browns hired defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz. And this was a guy we talked about a little bit last week, and you were really up in the air between Flores and Schwartz. And I think after you were thinking about it for a little bit, you're like, you know what? I think it's Schwartz.
Yeah.
I think that's the guy. So how are you feeling about the hire? Give me your thoughts, good, bad, indifferent.
I'm happy overall. You know, I was on the Flores train, and then, you know, I kind of backed off a little bit after a couple conversations with you and listening to some things, you know, online, reading some things about Jim Schwartz. And, you know, I just kind of had them 1A, 1B. They were interchangeable for me. I think the Browns really couldn't go wrong with either of the two. They should have been the top two candidates, and it sounds like they probably were. I did get a little nervous last night because I thought that the Desai, if I'm saying his last name right, rumors were going to come true, and I was getting really nervous that the city of Cleveland was going to burn.
You were really nervous
if they hired another first time coach. Yeah. I'm happy. We'll sum it up there. I'm happy. I think they made an extremely smart decision. You know, Schwartz is familiar with Barry from his time in Philadelphia with him. He's been a defensive coordinator for 14 years. He's an older gentleman. He's got head coaching experience. He brings a wealth of knowledge. And I think the biggest thing is he emphasizes some positions that the Browns need emphasis on, which would be, you know, your interior defensive line, your linebackers. He's really good against the run. And I think that's important in our division. Obviously, you got Najee Harris with Pittsburgh. You got, Joe Mixon over in Cincinnati. And then you got J.K. Dobbins in Baltimore. So, I mean, it's important to stop the run in the North. And, you know, I think they made a really good decision.
You know, it's in hindsight, I think that this decision was lost on some of us when it may have been the obvious choice. And one of the things that you touched on last week was, listen, I don't want to, you know, kind of like what you're saying, you know, I don't want a first time defensive coordinator. Jim Schwartz, I believe, of the candidates interviewed, is the only one that has defensive coordinator experience, correct? And one of only two with head coaching experience. I think people right. forget that Brian Flores has not been a defensive coordinator. Presumably, yeah, based on his work with New England right. and parlaying that into a head coaching gig in Miami, which right. Ended maybe not so much due to him failing as a head coach as much as some other things, but you know, Schwartz also had a connection with Andrew Berry because Andrew Berry was in Philadelphia.
Correct.
With Schwartz.
Yep.
So you put all these things together, experienced defensive coordinator, you know, he's got head coaching experience. He's a nice yin to Stefanski's yang. Personality wise, you know, the familiarity there, this is a good hire. Now, not only that, his scheme that he runs works with both our personnel and philosophy. So it's going to look a little bit different, but he's not going to come in and change the world.
Right. And let's be honest. I mean, this is not going to be a transformation overnight. I would expect the defense to look better next year. You know, he's a no nonsense kind of coach, and that's what this team desperately needs, because it just seems obvious that the defensive side of the locker room just lacks in natural leadership from the player group. So I think it was important to bring in a coach that was a no nonsense coach that had natural leadership, that commands respect from his players, commands execution and hard work. And that's what Schwartz brings. He's a no nonsense coach. He almost fought Jim Harbaugh one time at the end of a game. So, I mean, he doesn't mess around, and that's what this team needs. Let's be honest. I mean, the Browns have had a lack of leadership in that locker room for quite some time. And, you know, Kevin Stefanski he's a reserved leader. And I think this is going to be a good thing to have on the defensive side of the ball, because they need to have some fire. They just haven't had that fire there.
Yeah. And I think we're going to be happy with what we see personnel wise. The personnel he runs is a 4-3, which is essentially what we've been running. You know, it's a little bit, if you like blitzing, that he's not really going to be your flavor, but he's going to make up for it in other areas. Like he is going to call a very low percentage of blitzes.
Correct.
But he has been consistently ranked as a top run defense. He has led a number of defenses that have just had phenomenal sack numbers. But our team's Achilles heel on defense is where he needs the most strength from.
Correct.
And that's because he oftentimes runs a wide nine, which depends on strong interior defensive line play. So, you know, our linebackers kind of fit the mold. Our defensive backs kind of fit the mold. This might have even saved John Johnson's job based on what the expectations are of the of safeties.
Right.
In his defense. But if you're so with a wide nine, you may actually have a linebacker in between Myles Garrett and a defensive tackle.
Right.
So they're really going to defend on the interior defensive line to really move guys around and to allow him time to get to the quarterback with not as much resistance. And that's really the goal.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely going to move, not to cut you off. He's going to move Miles around. If some way Clowney was still here, he's going to move him around on the line. He's going to definitely, I think we're definitely going to see different interior defensive linemen in Cleveland. Maybe not completely right away, maybe one or two different faces, but I expect that position to have a complete overhaul, because what they have at that position now does not fit the mold. Maybe Taven Bryan, but I don't think it's good enough. But he runs a lot of stunts with the linebackers. He's got the linebackers very involved in his scheme. Has huge sack numbers. I think the year that they won the Super Bowl in Philadelphia, he was the DC there. I want to say his like run stopping percentage was like, they were ranked like 94.5 or something like that. Some crazy high number. So, I mean, like, he's just extremely good at what he does. He's a little bit of a brainiac in his own right. And you know, the more you talk about him, it's like the more excited you get, because you're like, man, they really did nail this, They jumped on their interviews quick, and they got the guy that they needed. And I think Browns fans are going to be happy in the long run for sure.
Yeah, and it's a full circle moment for Schwartz because he started here under the Belichick regime, I believe. And that's really where you got to start in professional football. I think he was like a research assistant and a scouting assistant, something like that. And he worked his way up. And by 2001, he was Tennessee's defensive coordinator, and he held that position all the way through 2008. Right. I don't think we've had a defensive coordinator in a very long time that's lasted that long with us. And then he had a pretty good gig as a head coach. I mean, from 2009 until 2013, he coached the Detroit Lions. He spent 1 year in Buffalo in 2014 as defensive coordinator. And then he was in Philadelphia from 2016 through 2020. And that's where he got a Super Bowl ring. And guys like Chris Long really benefited from his defense. When you look at edge rushers and, Andrew Berry was in Philadelphia briefly. He left and came back from there. And, Schwartz got his ring. And since then, he's been with the Tennessee Titans as a defensive consultant
or assistant, something like that.
Yeah, essentially. So it's, I think this is a good move. You have a guy that, with the exception of the Buffalo stint, which was 1 year, and then in 15, he wasn't anywhere. This is a guy that's never spent less than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years in a single position with the team since 2001. I mean, this is a guy that's in it for the long haul.
Yep.
When he's on board. Do you think that this was the right hire? Do you think we rushed it? Do you think that this threatens Stefanski in any way? Let's talk about kind of like some of the peripherals that come into play here.
Right. I honestly don't think it's rushed. I think the Browns identified their top candidates and they went out and interviewed them quickly and hired the guy that honestly out of the candidates was the most qualified. So for once as a Browns fan, you really can't complain about it. Like the hire to me is kind of wrapped up in a bow for you. I think him having head coaching experience may not be the negative that some in the media has made it out to be, for example, like possibly taking over, Stefanski's job or threatening his position on the team if he doesn't succeed next year. I mean, let's be honest, if Stefanski has a bad year next year with Deshaun Watson, whether the defense is good or not, he's probably on the hot seat and he may even be out of town. That doesn't matter. So you have somebody, that can step in there, but that's not why the Browns hired this guy. They hired him because Andrew Berry is familiar with him. He fits his schemes fit the players that they have. They don't have to completely overhaul the defensive personnel. He's going to bring in top quality coaches on his side of the ball. And he's just experienced. When you bring somebody in that's experienced like that, he walks into the room or the locker room and he's automatically going to get respect from the players. So, I think it was a slam dunk for the Browns. I think Andrew Berry handled it phenomenally. But I think it's a little overblown. Kevin Stefanski's on the hot seat if they don't succeed next year anyway. It doesn't matter who they hire. I mean, it is what it is. So
I'm with you. I think there are two things, like you're saying, that's extremely overblown right now. One that if Kevin Stefanski ends up on the hot seat, sure, Schwartz would be an obvious choice based on what we have on our staff right now to become like an interim head coach and potentially parlay that into a head coaching gig with the Browns.
Right.
But I think that's being overplayed. Like Kevin Stefanski's seat is on the verge of being hot if he doesn't do well with Deshaun Watson this year. I don't think this either increases or decreases his odds in any way. As far as being,
if anything, it makes Stefanski's job a little bit easier for him because now he has somebody on the defensive side of the ball that he does not have to babysit, that can completely take the reins of the defense, and he knows that he can trust this person. So it takes a little bit of worry off of a newer head coach's plate because he has somebody on that side of the ball that he can trust, that he knows football. He knows the personnel. He knows how to use the personnel correctly. He doesn't have to worry about scheming issues when it comes time for game day. He can focus solely on being a head coach or calling plays or however he decides to go forward in that position. But I mean, it takes a ton of worry and stress off of his plate. So it helps him in the long run, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing that's kind of overblown, and this one to me is more overblown by the fans than anything, but the idea that, and I already referenced it earlier in the show, right? I said he's kind of a yin to Stefanski's yang personality-wise. I do think it's important, but I think the level or the extent of the importance is overblown. Like, sure, it's nice to see some fire on the sideline, because, you know, we really didn't have that. But is it going to help? Sure. But I think it's a little overblown as far as the effect it'll have. But correct, it'll be a little bit refreshing. It'll be nice to see. And if there's a side of the ball that needs accountability, it's the defense. We've harped on it over and over and over again. Yeah. None of these guys could take responsibility for anything
right
within 2 yards of them. That was going on this past season. And you have guys on offense that aren't even on the field taking responsibility for things that are the defense's fault, because, you know, that is the culture. It's amazing, right? Like, we talk about, the media talks about, fans talk about team culture, right? And generally that's viewed as something that the entire team is under that umbrella, right?
Correct.
I believe that we had a different culture this past year, maybe even in years past, on different sides of the ball. I think that our culture improved after, you know, we didn't have any drama with quarterbacks and wide receivers this year. The offensive side of the ball, we didn't have any drama this year, right?
No.
The defensive side of the ball, we had Jadeveon Clowney drama that, you know, was kind of hidden from us. It was not in plain sight, but it came into view before he got sent home from the last game, was told not to show up. We have guys not taking accountability. Like, that was early in the season, Jets game, you know? So this entire year, that defense, they have not been accountable. I mean, maybe some of the guys have been tough, but like, it was not smart football. It was not accountable football.
Yeah, no, I mean, the scheme issue, there were scheme issues. There was accountability issues. It's just the things that we've been screaming for as Browns fans. And I think he checks all those boxes. You're not going to see defensive players on his team running to Twitter after games, arguing with fans and things of that nature. He'll nip that stuff in the bud. Right. And I'll be shocked if he doesn't, but that's the kind of, you know, coach he is.
I think there's only one guilty party on offense when it comes to that. Yeah. He plays left tackle, but on the defense, there's some good guys on defense that are really going to fit Schwartz's scheme.
Correct.
Very well. JOK is, if he doesn't succeed in this position, you know, this is as good as it's going to get for him in this scheme, in my opinion. Playing in the middle there. Guys like Tony Fields is a depth player. This scheme is going to play to his strengths. Mm-hmm. Again, I mentioned this might have saved John Johnson's job. The expectations are a little bit different.
Right. And I'll go on a limb and say that this may keep Jadeveon Clowney with the Browns, because he's familiar with Schwartz from his time in Tennessee. So, I mean,
I don't know if they can put the toothpaste back in the tube with him.
Well, I mean, I think the thing with that, though, is I think that frustration is with Joe Woods. And I think that frustration was what everybody.
But it's watching an accountability factor, right? And when that's one of your mantras is accountability, you know, Joe Woods, I doubt Joe Woods was the guy that sent him home.
No,
Joe Woods probably didn't care at that point. Right. I mean, he knew he was gone.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
But what kind of message does that send to your other players if you can say that and then they bring you back and give you a paycheck?
I don't know. I mean, is he the only one in the defensive side of the ball that felt that way? I'd probably say no.
He's the only one who voiced it the way he did.
True. And I'm not saying it was professional, and I'm not saying it was the appropriate way to do it, but you know, that's one less hole on the defense that you got to worry about. I know he hasn't really performed all that great, and that may be why he doesn't come back, you know, in the long run anyway. But you know, I would much rather know that I've got him and Miles and only have to really worry about the interior of the defensive line versus now I got to worry about getting another pass rusher in there and two defensive tackles that fit my system. But I mean, it's here nor there. We don't know if he's going to come back, and you know, he could have burned that bridge with the front office and it could be over with. But you know, I wouldn't gloss over the fact that he is familiar with Schwartz and Schwartz is familiar with him and knows his strengths and weaknesses.
So he was in, when was he in Tennessee with Schwartz?
Yeah, I believe so.
So if he was in Tennessee with Schwartz, then that leads me to wonder what kind of a relationship they had. I'm going to look that up real quick because Kadeveon Clowney's path was a little...
I could have just talked out of my butt there.
Yeah, I want to look that up. So I'm looking that up as we speak. I'm not trying to go silent here. So he was with Tennessee in 2020, and Jim Schwartz was in Philadelphia in 2020.
So I'm wrong then. Yep.
Yeah, so they did not cross paths. Clowney came to Cleveland in 2021. Yep,
you're correct. Should probably do that research before I threw that out there. Disregard, fellas. Sorry.
Honest mistake. I do it all the time. I mean, think about the information that we take in and then we try to share. It's bound to get mixed up at times.
I felt like that was more recent that Schwartz was there. That's crazy. It felt like it was recent when that. I don't know what I was thinking of then.
2021 feels like forever ago, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, so... Man,
so then they won't probably have any bearing. So
what's that?
I said just we'll remove that last 3 minutes from the show because it's not going to have any bearing on Clowney.
No harm, no foul. Ryan knows what he's doing. We are going to head to our overtime show shortly. We are going to post a link in the comments if you're watching live on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. And you can click that link and video chat with us and we open up the conversation to you. We will display and interact with your comments if you're on Facebook or YouTube. You can ask us questions, you know, things like that. We'll answer them live. We do that every Tuesday at 9 p.m. If you're on the Dogs by Nature podcast network, we, of course, upload the audio of the show prior to that happening. And we do that on a weekly basis. Anything you want to bring to the table, Ryan, before we head to the overtime show?
No. I feel bad because
any wild card news or notes?
No, I bet terribly on the wild card this past weekend, but other than that, no, I don't have anything for the wild card, unfortunately.
You know, we are not going to be the spectacle this offseason, though. It's going to be Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of excited for it.
With everything that Lamar Jackson tweets out, I'm like overanalyzing it in my head, trying to figure out if he's pissed at the organization, if he's saying he loves the organization. It's like he's so passive aggressive. It's ridiculous.
Yep. And then Tyler Huntley's a restricted free agent. Keep an eye out if you're a Dogs by Nature reader. I'm going to be unleashing a plethora of articles, team by team by team, detailing who they have hitting free agency, if the Browns may or may not be interested in any of them, for our AFC North foes, you know, what is going on with the offseason that could affect the way our division shakes out, things like that. So make sure you look on Dogs by Nature for my articles there. We are headed to the overtime show. We thank you for joining today. This is Craig Fountain and Ryan Angelo with the Dogs Table. And we thank you for tuning in to the Dogs by Nature podcast network. And until next time, go Browns.
Go Browns.